Going on.
To be quiet.
Αλλά και αυτό πρέπει να το τελειώσω.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Great.
Do we know if we, do we have a quorum? Elise, have you checked? Just forwarding Zoom info to somebody. It looks like we have quorum, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, we're good. We're good with quorum. I guess we can get started. It's 6:02. We can call the meeting to order. I guess we can start with the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag,
of the United States of America,
and to the
republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So first order of business.
Hold on, Elias. Is anyone recording this?
Nope, I'm not recording yet.
Oh, it's on. Okay.
Okay, first order of business is approving June 24th minutes. I think Marianne sent those out to everybody.
Yeah.
Earlier. Does anybody have any edits or changes to the minutes?
Marianne, the version you sent out later today, I didn't get to look at. Does that incorporate my edits and Elise's edits from yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Elise's.
Okay, thanks.
All those have been.
Thanks.
And if we don't have any additional edits to the minutes, we have a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll move.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Marianne, are you taking notes for the meeting, or Elise, or what are you taking notes for today's meeting?
Yeah, I can take them.
Okay. So thanks. Close that. Next order of business, we have public comments on the agenda. Did anybody sign up for? Did anybody ask for public comments in the, at least in the chat area? If not, we can take requests and hold it later on in the meeting. Have you gotten any requests for public comments, Elise? Or Aaron?
I have not. This is Aaron.
I have not either.
Okay. So why don't we do this? We'll leave it open. If anybody either wants to send an email to Aaron or to text in the chat area that you'd like to have public comments. We can hold off on those until later in the meeting.
Thank you.
Next up on the agenda is the monthly financial review. Are you going to be handling that, Jeff?
Yeah, I can do that part. And then after that, I'll defer to Karen for the budget piece of it.
Okay. Are you going to be sharing stuff on screen?
Yeah, I can, if you can give me permission for that.
You should be able to share.
All right. Okay, so this is the financials for the month of June, which is the final month of the fiscal year. So this is where we fell for our financials on a cash basis. Final budgeted revenues were a little over $32 million, as you know, and the revenues collected to date was also just over $32 million, which represents 99.75% of the budget. A big driver that got us that close was the receipt of the CARES Act funding.
You want to come down?
Of $214,000.
Can we just ask anybody's...
Yeah, Labrina. Who's Labrina?
Can you please mute your... Anybody who's not presenting or speaking, if you can mute your phone, that would be great. Thanks.
All right. So yes, the CARES Act funding, we were in receipt before the end of the month of the $214,000. Another large driver of the revenue for the month of June was the completion of the internal transfer from the Red Clay School District for the transportation needs of I'm going to unmute. A large driver was the transportation funding for Red Clay for the final 4 months of the fiscal year. We also had a net zero transfer for the school, but it represented the transportation provided for other areas of the school. So it was a revenue on the transportation side, expense on the school side. From the expenditures, final expenses were $27,781,149. Which represented just over 93% of the budget. And again, I'll reiterate with the CARES fund money that we received, there's a portion of that funding that will be associated with the next fiscal year, which represents the technology needs for the school for the one-to-one initiative and for some of the summer coursework programming. The final budget was, for the cash projection was, just over $3 million. And we came in, with all the revenue, that we brought in, $4.3 million for a positive variance of $1.35 million. And, if you guys have any questions, I can address those, if not, I'll kick it to Karen for the budget.
Can you unshare, Jeff?
Yep.
And
yep.
Thank you. Okay. We have been working on this budget for quite some time, and it has been very challenging, as I'm sure everybody can imagine. At this point in time, we do not know what school will look like in a few weeks. And we have, because of that reason, we have prepared a preliminary budget that assumes a 100% school reopening. Because that way we would include as many of the expenses as possible, although certainly remote and hybrid could have some expenses that we are not considering at this point. Another challenge that we're going to have this year is that they have moved the unit count date from September 30th to November 13th. DOE has indicated to us that they are going to do everything they can to be sure we get our money in the same time frames, even with the change in the unit count. Most likely we'll need to prepare an interim budget before the final so that we can take into account how school will look when it reopens. But the assumptions that we have made for this version is 1,950 students, and the school already has that in their potential unit count as of actually several weeks ago. So we feel very comfortable with the 1,950. For state revenue, the final state budget bill includes a step increase for all employees, but it does not include any salary increase. So we have made those assumptions for state operations, and you can see it's not a huge increase over the previous year, 14.9 million as opposed to 14.3. Other state funding is pretty much in line with the prior year. And moving on to local, for local revenue, we are assuming the same per pupil amounts as the previous school year. We do have the potential for that possibly being reduced. We will not receive our local per pupil amounts until potentially mid to late August. So we're holding the status quo for local revenue at this point in time. One change to revenues is that we have added in the $400,000 from Zions for building 23 capital costs for classrooms, and I'll address that cost when we get to the expense side. And then we are assuming the lease terms for academia for their base rent and tenant billing of $8,000 a month, and we are also including the $57,000 that they have agreed to pay for prior year additional rent for expenses. And then we have the St. Thomas lease in at 100% of their base and additional rent. In actuality, they do owe us some accounts receivable from the prior year. We are not including any fundraising or donations. We do anticipate that the committee will have some success in that area, but again, to be conservative till we know our final revenues, we're not including that. And then we have included the carryover that Jeff just mentioned, the $4.3 million, that includes these two numbers from operations and for the capital campaign. Before I go into our assumptions on expenses, does anybody have any questions or comments about the revenues? Okay. So as we move into expenditures, you know, as we've always talked about, salaries are the greatest expense that any public school has. And the assumptions that we've made for salaries, we have only added one special education teacher. That was an area of need. We are continuing on a daily basis to review the staffing that is in place. Again, a difficult thing to do without knowing what the reopening of school will look like. I'll address that a little bit as we get to the bottom line. But any resignation that occurs right now is being vetted before anything is approved for replacement. The teacher salary increases are in accordance with the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement that was negotiated and approved last year. And as I mentioned earlier, the state has approved the step increase. Other salaries for raises are trying to keep in line with what teachers are receiving under the CBA, but we're doing that in a phased-in model rather than all at once. You do see a change in administrative or director salaries. We do have a full-time business manager now, which you did not have last year. And also, I'm getting feedback. Wait a minute. There's also vacation payouts on some recent terminations that are included in that director number. Moving into other employment costs, the overall other employment cost rate decreased from 32.33 to 32.26%, and the health insurance rates stay the same. In professional services, we are including monies for the head of school search, and we have added diversity training costs as requested for this next year. Each department submitted their proposed budget for the year, and they've been vetted, changes have been made, and are all reflected in this preliminary budget proposal. We had a budget committee that was established in the beginning of the process with three board members and the co-heads of school and myself. The makeup of that committee changed over the course of the review with the change in the board, but we did meet before bringing this to the board with one board member, Ricardo, Jeff, and myself, and continued to review the various expenses. This budget does include a one-to-one technology for school-wide. It had already been implemented in the high school, but it is proposing to implement it for the rest of the school. And a large portion of that will be funded by the CARES Act money that Jeff mentioned is already in hand. The only other staff increase is adding a day porter to the facilities budget. There were some capital projects requested in the facilities budget, which we have put aside for another year or until we could improve this budget picture. And transportation does include adding two used buses and continuing services to Red Clay. Again, we need to know what their reopening will look like before we are sure whether that will happen or not. With all of those, I said I would mention the classroom for building 23. I said earlier we have $400,000 that has been approved for release from the investors. And in the budget, we have $430,000 for classroom renovations in building 23 and another $78,000 under furniture and technology for those classrooms. So with all of those assumptions made, the bottom line projected cash balance next June would be $3.2 million, which represents a $1.1 million deficit spending for the year. And again, until we know more about revenues, we really can't improve upon this picture. We continue to review staffing to see if there's anything we can do there to try to reduce costs, and we will continue that process. But I'm sure one of the questions that you're going to have is, what does this look like as compared to the debt service covenants? So I'm going to kick it over to Ricardo to go over that. Ricardo?
Karen, can I share screen?
Yes, I will take this down. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a minute. Okay. Bear with me, just getting to the screen here. Okay. Good evening. Can everybody see this screen?
Yes.
Okay. So here we have two columns, which is presenting the year-to-date June 2020 actuals. And a column for the preliminary budget. This is a restatement into a format restatement of both our monthly report and our preliminary budget into a structure that the investors use to calculate and to assess the three key bond covenants that we have to meet year in, year out. So I will quickly go just run through each of these, the bond covenants. There's three of them: the debt coverage ratio, days of cash on hand, and then unrestricted fund balance. The most critical one, all three are important. All the, you know, the commitment is to meet all three of these covenants. The critical one is, of course, the debt coverage ratio, because it shows the investors our year-over-year ability to pay the debt service. And we're in a 30-year commitment with them. If we take this bond placement to term. So, you know, these aspects are very important. So what we're seeing here is that the debt coverage ratio that on a cash basis that we achieved this year was 1.51. The current budget, at the current draft budget, as we are looking at it right now, with all the efforts and with all the work that we have done, is registering at 0.96 times. What does this mean? This ratio basically tells us that our revenues, after covering operating expenses, has enough money to pay the debt service out of the operating funds, excluding cash, on a year-by-year basis. It's a way to show investors, banks, and bondholders the solvency, let's say, on a snapshot basis year by year. So this past year, we could cover 150% of our debt based on the actual expenditures incurred. This year, this coming year, we're looking at 96%. Our ability is to cover 96% without pulling into our cash reserves. The major concern here is being able to obtain funding, financing, or go to banks should we want to or should we need to go. That's why this is a very, very important covenant that we should strive every time to meet. The second one is estimated days of cash on hand. The target is 60 days. This year we hit 63 days. We started this past year at about 37 days, 38 days. And we were able, with the with the improvement in terms of the finances, to get up to 63 days. We're starting this year with this budget at 43 days. So we're starting in the same place where we've started in past years. However, keeping in mind that this year, the cash on hand, which is affected by capital investments, this year projected capital investments are lower than in the past, as you can see, the 1.8 versus the 1.4. If we were spending at the same rate as we've been in the past, of course, we would be considerably lower than the 43 days. And the fund balance covenant, the bottom number, is basically the minimum cash that they're looking for us to have. And at this point in time, we are meeting that covenant. So this past year, I think we, on how we report this data to the investors, we've met our commitments. The starting point, unfortunately, is in spite of all the work we have done, is not where we need to be, especially for the debt coverage ratio, which ideally we want to start, you know, the yearly projection at a 110 ratio. Karen?
Okay. So as you can see, this budget is not ideal by any means to be deficit spending to that extent. We feel based on the school's staffing model and other expenses needed to run the academic and operations area that we don't see any areas that we can easily reduce expenses. So the next steps that you know, we need to take, normally we would be asking for board approval of the budget. But we feel we should continue to reevaluate areas of expenses. We would like to have some board approval on some areas of expenses so that we are not stopping some items that need to be put in place for the opening of school. Basically, we have three items. We would like to continue with the one-to-one technology school-wide, as that is, majority of that is covered by the CARES Act. We have a proposal for some purchase of curriculum, which is just under $60,000 that's necessary to implement for this next year. And we have curriculum work going on over the summer for what we call EPR, extra pay for responsibility, to the tune of about $15,000. So without a budget in place, and we've gone to August before to approve the budget, but we would like to be sure we have approval for some items, and also any feedback or questions that the board has about taking this approach.
I mean, it seems like it's not ideal, but I don't think there's anything that's ideal about the environment right now. So it feels to me like you guys are doing a good job of thinking through the different scenarios and trying to be conservative. So I'm comfortable with the approach.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the best path forward for now. So.
And keep in mind that it is going to be, you know, challenging. And I think we should most likely have a couple of board members added into the Budget Finance Committee to keep this process going. Right now we have Rodrigo, who has been doing a great job in working with us and asking wonderful questions. But we're going to need some board input over the next couple of weeks to really dig into this so that we have something viable financially to bring to the board next month. So if we could take care of that and also take care of approving the three items that I went over so that we can keep the opening of school on track.
Are those three items in the proposed FY21 budget?
They are.
Okay, so if we approve the budget, we'll de facto approve those items as well too. So you don't need separate approval for those three items.
We just want to be sure that the board is aware we would like to move ahead with those items. Normally, items of a certain value have to be approved by the board if they're not in the budget. So we wanted to communicate that. I'm not sure you need a formal vote. No bids are necessary on any of these items. You don't bid curriculum because it's proprietary and sole source. And the technology one-on-one, we already use state contracts for. So we want to be sure that the board understands we're going to move forward with those items because we don't have a budget in place. Obviously, we're also moving forward with paying everybody who's working and keeping normal business going for the school. So, yeah, we probably don't need you to take an official vote as long as everybody understands how the school is going to be operating over the next few weeks until we can bring you a budget that is more financially viable. That budget may include having to make some staffing changes. So some hard decisions ahead to make.
For the one-to-one technology piece, we will have a vote on it because it's listed specifically in the documentation that we have with MIT Bank for the funds for that. So we just want to be clear on that, we'll vote on that quickly once that comes up. But the other items, I think we're fine when we approve the preliminary budget for the budget for the 21, proposed budget.
And Karen, I don't think that we have an issue with the DOE if the budget gets approved in August versus today, correct?
Correct. We have done that before, and I know that several charter schools are doing that. I have not talked to a lot of them, but I am sure several of them are doing the same thing because of one of our reasons being that we don't know what school is going to look like yet.
Alexa.
So it's not a problem.
And the reality is it's likely we will have to make changes if we don't go to a full opening, which is, I'm sure, highly probable. And so we'll have to address that probably at the next board meeting or sooner once we get clarity or resolution on that, because it will change the numbers. Some path forwards are more expensive, some path forwards are less expensive, and so we don't really know what that is right now. So that's why the budget is based on a full opening. But that's dependent on a number of factors, and we'll figure that out as we get closer to that time frame. But more on that later in the meeting. Okay. So are you anything else, Karen, on your end or Ricardo in the budget?
Unfortunately not.
Thank you.
We have a motion to approve the proposed FY21 budget as presented by Karen.
Guys, we're approving pieces of it. We're waiting on refinement based on clarity on what the reopening is going to look like. That's going to change it.
Well, that we know, but we still need the budget to. I understand that, and I understand that there's probably going to be changes to the budget, and so unless are we highlighting specific items that we're not approving in the budget, because we do have to pay salary, we do have to get school prep opening materials and resources and supplies, we do need to get the computer systems that were earmarked for, and I understand that there are three priority areas that Karen listed, but there are a lot of other areas in there that I think if we don't approve the budget that maybe
I think what we can do is we can amend the motion to approve the budget subject to further modification in the next couple of weeks as we have more clarity in terms of what reopening is going to look like. And
absolutely,
we'll probably have a ratification of whatever actions are needed to be taken between now and the next board meeting.
Absolutely. I think that's the intent and that's the path forward. So does anyone have a motion? Do you want to put a motion on the floor like that?
I so move.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any comments? The motion is to approve the budget with the expectation that there will be changes to it in upcoming meetings. But we'll go forward with what's written as is for now. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next up is the anything else on the financial report? Are we good with that, Karen and Ricardo or Jeff?
You do need to approve the web report.
Web report.
We have a motion to approve the web report.
I'll move to approve the web report.
We have a second. We have a second.
I'll second. Anna Maria.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. So you guys can go ahead and I guess put that on the website as well, too.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Are we bringing up the one-to-one computer purchases later on, Ricardo? Or are we done talking that?
We're done. We're done for now. I mean, we're in execution mode, trying to make sure that we can place the order early next week.
The one thing, and so I'll just bring that up under the budgetary piece, is we are going to a one-to-one computer usage so that all the students in the school will have computers under the circumstances that we may need to remote learn or virtual learn. So every student will be issued a computer. And so it's a pretty big purchase. Normally we lease the systems typically, but the effective lease rate is about 6.5%. And we have a line of credit that allows us that will charge us roughly a 2.5% rate. And so what we're doing is we're financing the computers through our line of credit to save costs in the lease agreement. But we're also, a lot of those costs are going to be defrayed by the CARES Act as well, too. So that'll be driven down. But we need a motion to approve the use of the credit line, because it's a pretty big chunk of money to go to a one-to-one computer usage for OCS this coming year.
When you say pretty big chunk of money, what's the dollar amount?
$453,000. $453,000 to be paid off over a 3-year period. So it mirrors the lease agreement. The difference is that the lease agreement, we negotiated a rate down to 5.6% versus the 2.5% that we have through the M&T Bank line of credit.
And so I just sent everybody the stuff, and it lists all the computer systems that we're buying. I sent it out a little bit late, but you have that. But it's basically a cost-saving measure for us going this round.
And a third of that to expedite the purchase, we're financing the full amount. But a third of that, a quarter of that will be prepaid without penalty through the CARES funding. So very quickly, we will be reducing the indebtedness, let's say, and further reducing interest costs.
All right, thanks, Ricardo. Do you want to put a motion on the table at least for that?
Sure, I make a motion to approve the resolution in support of the financing for the one-on-one technology for Odyssey students.
I second that.
Any discussion or questions about this?
Seems prudent.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So that motion passes. So you can go ahead and put that order in, Ricardo.
Thank you.
Next up is the head of school report. Are you taking on that, Ricardo?
Am I supposed to, boss? No, what I would like to do, and I'd like to propose that, we sort of merge the two reports. And sure. I mean, because some of the topics that I referenced earlier to you are really driven by school initiatives and the school reopening and all of that. I am going to ask that Ashley and Stephanie, you know, chime in. And, you know, as we go, for example, as we go through the highlights of the first survey, you know, ask Ashley to, you know, to add any commentary that she might have. You know, then we'll talk a little bit about the reopening plans. Still very high level, unfortunately. We're going to talk a little bit about the calendar that we would like to present a revised school year calendar. And I'm going to ask Stephanie to make that presentation to you. And then a couple more updates.
Right.
So I will start. I will start with another screen share here. Okay. Just bear with me. Okay. So my apologies that this might not be very ideal, but I will walk through. 10-12 days ago, we sent out a first high level survey, 12-13 questions. One survey that covered our three key stakeholders: staff, parents, students. Pleased to say that we received almost 1,400 responses, most of them from parents, almost 1,200 responses from parents, about 85 responses from students, and I believe about 140, 150 responses from our teachers. So we got a first level of response, which is very, very helpful, but it is very high level. Thinking that 10 days ago, we have had considerably less information than we have today. 10 days ago, we were heading up in our reinfection index, and now, I mean, it's dropped significantly again. So things will be changing on a constant basis. So this is a first snapshot directionally. First snapshot directionally of where we are. I'm going to quickly walk you through some of the findings, and I'll just voice them over for sake of ease.
Your screen share fell off.
So, sorry, Ashley.
You don't have your screen share.
Oh, okay. So let me hold on a minute.
I think it's high level enough for Carter. You can probably verbalize it.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Let me, okay, so the first question that I would like to summarize is the comfort level that we have in returning to school. And in the aggregate, we have about 48 to 50% of our community that has indicated that they are uncomfortable, somewhat uncomfortable, or very uncomfortable about coming back to school. And we have about 17% that feel that they don't have enough data at this time to express their preference. This aggregate result varies between about 42% to about 55% in terms of the different groupings. Of course, because the parents are so high in terms of their weight in the total tally of the survey, you know, they influence the outcomes. The second question that we raised is, okay, based on coming or not coming to school, you know, how comfortable are we with riding a school bus? We have about 85, 86% ridership in the 612 grades, and we have about a 60% ridership in the K-5 grades. So we have about 32% that are not comfortable, and about 28%, so about 60, close to 60% that, you know, have some comfort or are not comfortable in terms of coming to school. The big issue here is that as we reopen school and we don't have the bus ridership, there are two key issues, as we can well imagine. One is if we have to social distance on buses, we may be down to 12 students per bus per run. That creates the logistics that affect scheduling. The other aspect of it is if parents are not comfortable and they don't want to ride the bus, then parents will be bringing students to school by car. And as those car drivers already know, I mean, we've got a tight ship to run every morning and every afternoon to manage the traffic logistics on campus. If that gets further exacerbated by a couple hundred cars, you know, we have to deal with that logistics and plan very differently to make the necessary accommodations. The next question that comes up is the preference with regards to on-campus learning, remote learning, or flexible, a hybrid. Both parents and students expressed a significant predominance about being flexible. Okay, some days on campus, some days at home, and introducing that mix of pedagogy. With regards to the other question that we asked as we're coming on campus has to do with following health and wellness protocols. And these health and wellness protocols have to do with K-5 students wearing masks, mandated for 6/12, then we asked about temperature checks for staff, temperature checks for students, and social distancing. Very, very strong response, over 70% in basically all these categories, for required use of masks, for the temperature check of both staff and students, and to ensure that we maintain adequate social distancing. I say adequate social distancing because depending on the scenario of reopening, there may be some flexibilities, around the 6 feet of separation. But a very, very strong message by our community with regards to making sure that we are addressing health and wellness concerns. We asked the question of parents and students and staff around managing the remote learning this spring. And the range was not comfortable at all. It's very comfortable. The aggregate average came at close to 3.5 out of 5. And the range there was from 3.4 by parents to 3.9 by staff. So there is a reasonable degree of comfort. And I think this matter is definitely being addressed by the academic and equity subcommittee of the reopening working group as we look at what virtual learning will look like this fall, should we need to implement it either on a hybrid scenario or a full virtual or remote learning. The final question that wanted to share was about the interface, the contact, the visual contact between staff and students, and the frequency of it was was really the question. How frequent? The majority of the responses were strongly inclined to say the more the better. And in our case, the more the better was two or three times per week. But I believe in the commentary, that was the last question. There was, a significant number of people indicating that they were interested in, a more live lesson environment to be implemented at the school. So that is the summary that I wanted to cover. I'm just going to ask Ashley if you want to add anything to this, especially if there are two or three key takeaways from the commentaries that we received.
I would say you were very thorough. In terms of the comments, we had a range of comments, everything from we really would like to see our kids back in school to our safety is most important and we don't know if we can safely reopen. So we are certainly taking all of those comments into our meetings and into our different subcommittee meetings as well. There is a lot of different things that are kind of up in the air in terms of what is going to be the final word passed down by Governor Carney. And so we are looking at multiple options for the reopening and how that could look in a hybrid scenario and all those things as well.
Thank you, Ashley. Let me jump into, once again, a high level update on where the reopening planning committees are.
Ricardo, sorry to interrupt you. I just want to flag something that this was just the first survey. There will be other surveys coming out. The only way we can really move forward in the best way is to get as much data and information and your input as we can. So before the end of this week, I believe there's another survey coming out, and we apologize that we're inundating you with surveys, but again, the more questions we vet through you guys, the more information we have, and we better understand the comfort level of our community, of our parents, teachers, staff, students. This survey that's coming out before the end of the week is a conglomerate survey of other, it's put together by the Delaware Charter School Network. So we're gonna see actually the aggregate data from all the other charter schools as well in our community. So that's going to be coming out probably before the end of the week. Ricardo will correct me there. And then once we have our phased plans drafted, there'll likely be another survey to our community, vetting those things by you guys. And I suspect there will be town hall and some meetings and some robust community discussions in terms of where the comfort level lies, what is the best practices in terms of public health, what are the CDC guidelines, what is the guideline from Delaware Department of Education, Delaware Health and Human Services. We are relying on the experts here, and your opinion obviously matters. So there'll be more communication. I know we kind of fell off that we used to communicate more regularly during the school year, and in the summertime, it's just everybody's truly doing an amazing job trying to work through different scenarios, work with data that changes every day. So there will be more communication.
Thank you for the catch, Elise. Appreciate it. So as many of you know, we launched a working group structure, basically following the working group structure that the DOE has implemented over the past 45 days, so that we could transfer knowledge to the working groups. We sought to build these working groups with representation from our stakeholders, be it parents and board members, staff, and our internal experts. I mean, the three groups, as you saw in the survey, or in the communication that we sent out, academics and equity, operations and services, and health and wellness. They're deep in the work right now, so we don't have reports to put out to the community. The teams are meeting on a weekly basis, and as Ashley mentioned, they're looking at the different options and already thinking about some variants on the options that we may need to be implementing. So for example, the base option that we're working on is a parallel setup for instead of a hybrid, it's a parallel setup, but we're also starting to explore a more typical hybrid where, you know, all students would be sometime on campus, sometime off campus, versus having a K-5 configuration and a 6-12 configuration, one on campus and one off campus. I mean, these are very hard because it's very, very challenging to be able to accommodate the needs of all members of our community, be they staff, be they parents, be they students, as we seek to maximize the learning experience for our children. My expectation is that by the end of this month, we will have our internal reports. We've just seen the state's formal report that was announced and communicated yesterday by the governor and the Secretary of Education. It was published, it's on the website, it's already available on, in our working group Google folders. And this will continue to help inform our evolving discussions. And part of this exercise is frustrating because we head in one direction and then we get data points and we have to sort of peel back. And so as we keep moving ahead, step back, three steps forward, you know, the intent is to make sure that we collect the information and be able to provide, a solid response to the questions and concerns that we collectively have, but especially our families have, for themselves and for their children. Stephanie, could I ask you to jump in and walk us through what we're proposing with regards to a revised schedule?
Sure. Good evening, everybody. Myself, along with the rest of the calendar committee, met this past Friday to discuss some options about proposing changes to the previously approved schedule, our calendar for the school year. In that meeting, we discussed pushing back the start date for the beginning of the school year. If you've seen the news, a couple other schools have done so as well, allowing us some more time to spend with teachers, whether we are remote, hybrid, or in person. There's a lot of additional training that needs to happen that we cannot possibly cram into the 4 days previously allotted at the beginning of the year. So the changes we're proposing tonight are to shift the staff development. It was originally going to start on 8/24. It will continue to start on 8/24, but it'll last the entire week, so that Monday through Friday, 8/24 to 8/28, and then continue into that next week. That Monday is 8/31, and it'll conclude on the Thursday, 9/3. So that gives us 9 days of professional development as opposed to the 4 we previously had. Again, with the one-to-one, and whether, like I said, we're in person, remote, or hybrid, there are a lot of new protocols that we will need to put in play. We want to make sure that our staff has plenty of time to acclimate themselves to all the changes that are occurring. So with that being said, the new start date for students would be that Tuesday right after Labor Day, which is the 8th. The other changes in the schedule are we are proposing for the 9/28, which is a Monday. Yom Kippur was originally a trade-off day. We are just making that a day off. Trade-off meaning that staff would do some professional development, or if they participated in back-to-school night and other events and stuff like that, that would serve as their time for that day and they would be off. But now we are just making that a day off with all the PD we have scheduled at the beginning of the year. Along with that is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That was another trade-off day. We're proposing that just be a day off at this point. And then the next change to the calendar would be in June. So the student day would, student school year would end on Wednesday, June 16th. That is a change from the Friday. I'm not sure what the date was. Sorry, I don't have that in front of me, but it would push it from that Friday to the following Wednesday. So we would be adding 2.5 days on at the end of the school year for students. That last day would still be a half day. Again, that would be 6:16, and the teacher last day would not change. It would remain at 6:18, which is that Friday. With that being said, we're at 167 student days, which equates to 1068.8 hours. We're required to have 1060, so that gives us 1.3 extra days, one less day built in than we previously had. But we do have other days off that we can look at trading in if need be, but at this time the calendar committee feels comfortable with this proposal and feel that it would be in the best interest to push the start of the school year back for students in order to adequately prepare staff for the return to school.
Thank you, Stephanie. Any
questions? Sure. I believe I sent the updated calendar to some of you. If you didn't receive it, it can be forwarded, or I have it, and I can send it out again.
And, I think it's critical for teachers and staff to be ready and prepared and have as much time as they need to kind of, whatever the rules are going to be for reopening, we will need time. They will certainly need time to kind of acclimate. I think that's a very wise approach.
I agree, and it gives us a little bit more flexibility in terms of when we need to make the final decisions on what the model is going to be as well, to coincide along with DOE's guidance and the CDC's guidance and everybody else. And so things change on a weekly basis, and so it gives us a little bit more breathing room there as well, too. So
I have a quick question on, do we have any snow days still budgeted in the new calendar? Oh, Stephanie, you're on mute.
I thought I hit it, sorry. That's the 1.3 days. So originally we had just over 2 days built in, and now we're at 1.3. So still have one cushion day that's built in there.
What's that cushion for?
Typically with the hours in the school day, because we don't go by the number of days, it's by hours. So all students need 1060 hours in school. The number of days that we have and the hour, how long our school day is, we usually end up with, typically in the past, we've sometimes had like 6 built-in days, which just allow us, if there are snow days or inclement weather days, we don't have to make them up at the end of the year because our day is a little bit longer than the regular school day.
Would this calendar change in any way if we get guidance and say, you know, we have a hybrid model, and or we are fully remote learning for the foreseeable period, does that affect the calendar at all?
At this point, the state has allowed schools to make changes to the calendar. Typically, you're not doing that at this point in time. It would already be approved. But as the calendar committee, which is composed of 3 staff members and 3 administrative members, we felt comfortable with the 9 days at the beginning of the year, and don't foresee that being pushed back at this point unless something drastically changes. We feel pretty confident with the changes we're proposing for whatever the governor should recommend.
Okay. So even if the governor recommends it's a remote learning for everybody, you would still propose this calendar?
Yes.
And if I understand the prior calendar, you had the first, I think the last week of August. So you had 5 days there of school. And you, that's out now, right? And then when you look at the end of the year, did you push and did you add the full 5 days there or no? Or did we lose days?
Well, we had a little bit more of a cushion with the snow days in there. So we didn't necessarily reallocate every single day, but we did reallocate three of them with our still 1.3 days that are built in.
Okay.
Just general question, since we're going to one-to-one computers to students, I know some schools that have that model do remote learning on snow days. I know kids that don't particularly care for that, but it is an option, I think, that we could employ if needed, right? If we had a whole lot of snow days where we could shift to, instead of just being a day off, it could be a remote learning day as well, too. So that is an option where we can save days that way if needed.
Correct. So we've discussed that just briefly before the year ended, and the changes between like screencasting and all of those things with us going one-to-one and everybody receiving training on that at the beginning of the year, that should help. But also the teachers are there for the other 2.5 days, which are still technically weather contingency days, should we need to push that. We do have the 2 weeks at Christmas, and some schools take away from spring break. I'm not saying we're going to do that, but we aren't at a loss if we need to make up days. We do have a little bit of wiggle room there.
Thank you, Stephanie. So I guess we want to put a motion on the floor to approve the revised school calendar for the 2021 school year.
I make a motion to approve the revised calendar.
I'll second.
Any discussion on it?
I just say nice job, Stephanie, and the committee. I know this was a lot of work to try to fit all the pieces in and everything, so thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Well, we can revise the school calendar is approved. Thank you, Stephanie.
Can I just ask that you send the calendar, the revised, to us, please?
Would you like me to just forward it to everybody? I think some of you got it, but I can forward it now.
Yeah, go ahead.
And of course, the revised calendar will, in the next 24, 48 hours will be posted on the website on the landing page on the right side. So it will be available for everybody to download and print.
Sounds good.
So just as was mentioned by Karen in the budgeting process, we are starting, we have signed the contract with Commonwealth Construction. We have the $400,000 that was received from the investors to be earmarked for the retrofit of Building 23. So that project is now starting. The next steps that are being implemented is the permitting phase, and then the subcontracting, the bidding of the subcontracting work, because the goal is to have the construction company come back to us with a guaranteed maximum price for the project. And so the next target milestone is finalizing the GMP and having the GMP approved, after which, once the permits are in place, we would proceed with construction. And the expectation is that this should take 60 days. So, the big question that we have to now filter is if we are coming back to school with some kind of modified structure, what are the implications of having a construction crew operating in safe and healthy conditions while we've got students around? So we're already processing that, and we were very mindful in asking these kinds of questions of how these construction companies have been addressing with existing projects all their needs. Okay. One final, and I'm going to ask license here of our board members. I have asked Mary Rigos to join us tonight. She is retiring at the end of the month. And this is going to be her last board meeting. Hi, Mary. you are on mute, so if you could unmute your computer, Mary. Nope, you're muted again. You're muted again, Mary. So I just wanted to take the opportunity because Mary has been with the school ever since day one and even before then, because she was part of a family that was instrumental in dreaming the school up. And I just wanted to give her just a couple of minutes to just share with everybody, because not everybody really knows her, you know, her quick journey at Odyssey and what you're planning to do once you retire.
Oh, wow. Put me on the spot here.
Well, yes, just a little bit. We really appreciate you.
And oh, I appreciate
it. I just wanted to make sure that we could acknowledge and recognize you.
It's been a fantastic journey from day one, 2007, when I actually retired from the Army in 2007 and immediately started working at Odyssey right away. And it's just been, it's been the best 13 years of my life. Cat fight here. I work with the best people that you could ask for. I've gotten to know so many parents and the students. It's been great. And I thank everybody for the opportunity to put up with me.
Mary, thank you, because a lot of the work that you did in support of the school truly behind the scenes. And so often, you know, ungrateful in terms of having to, you know, do collections and things like that, the tough work. But on behalf of the team, thank you. And, you know, all the best. And really, we expect to see you.
Often. Oh, you will.
you know, with us. It's not a good goodbye, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
I just
you
want to open it up to board members if they want to say something.
I love the comments. There's got to be a way to print out all those comments for you and just preserve them somehow.
Oh.
Everyone's wishing you the best of luck. This is just an outstanding job that you've done. Thank you for all your years.
Thank you.
Best wishes to your family, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I foresee that you're going to miss us and come back at some point.
You can't get rid of me that quickly.
No way.
But you're going to try, right?
Yeah.
No, but thank you so much, Mary. On behalf of the board, we want to thank you for all your years of service. You've been amazing here, and you've been helping everybody out since day one, and you continue to help everybody out here.
I appreciate it.
I heard nothing but good things about you, and we're happy. Other than the fact that we're low on our meal accounts and we're not paying once in a while, it's been great. But I just want to thank you. You've been tremendous. You've been a tremendous asset to the school and the people that are coming up behind you that you've helped. That are currently here. We'll miss you sorely for sure. So
thank you very much.
Hopefully you will come back and visit us and help out once in a while. And
I will.
The doors are wide open for you.
I don't know. After this audit's over, I don't know.
and Mary, I hope you have your chat open, your chat box open, because there's a huge stream of chats coming through.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I see them. Okay.
Okay. I just thought you should read through them.
Okay, I will. I will. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Elias.
Thank you, everybody. Are we good, Ricardo?
Yes.
Thank you for all that. Appreciate it. Next up, Citizens Budget Oversight Committee. I know a number of the folks weren't able to make it today. Is there anybody here from that?
The committee did, this is Karen, the committee did meet this right before the board meeting, but it was a very small group. It was just the DOE representative and some Odyssey staff.
Any major outcomes?
No, the DOE representative was satisfied with the information that was provided, and hopefully next month we'll have more of the active members on the committee that will be able to attend. It's tough in the summer.
Sounds good. All right, thank you. Any faculty report from any of the faculty board members? Any updates in that area?
Not really. All the teachers are waiting anxiously to find out how we're getting back to school. That's all I can report. I see that right after this is the PTO report, and she sent me a message that she won't be able to attend. She asked me to share with everybody that there's going to be a PTO used uniform sale on July 22nd in Building 20 from 4 to 7 p.m.
That's next Wednesday, a week from today?
July 22nd, when is it? Yes.
Yeah, next Wednesday, 4 to 7, you said?
Building 20, yes.
Okay, all right. Sounds good, thank you. Mm-hmm. New business, I think we went over most of the new business in Ricardo's discussion. The only other discussion we had was on the committees. So just wanted to go through and provide some quick updates on the committees. Did you want to talk at all about, I guess, ever since you're up the diversity committee?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about the diversity committee. It has been a very, very active committee. Actually, up until now, it was a working group. We had about 55 people who expressed an interest in joining. We've had two Zoom meetings, and in both, we had about 30 people who participated. Very interesting conversations and ideas coming forward. With the diversity, equity, and inclusion group, we decided to break up in subcommittees. And so we have created the mentoring subcommittee, faculty diversity, curriculum, student groups, community outreach, event planning, staff development, and inclusion. And all of these subcommittees have been meeting separately and bringing forward ideas and action plans. One of the highlights is that we are moving forward with training from the fourth dimension. We are still trying to figure out the details. That training will be both at a leadership level and at training some of the staff. And I want to remind all the subcommittees to please send me one subcommittee member that will serve as the official representative to the committee, because we have to move from the working group to a more official committee at this point. That's about the DE&I group. And then I have a brief report about the signage working group. Many trials and errors, Ricardo will tell you, many Zoom meetings, but we are almost there. And the outdoor directional signs are almost finalized. So hopefully by next board meeting, we're gonna show everybody what we have done.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll just go through the list. I know all the committees haven't met since the last board meeting, but anything on the fundraising committee, please?
No, we have not met. I anticipate there'll be a meeting probably, if not next week, before the end of July.
Immersion committee, anything happening there?
Yeah, Anna Maria is swooping in and helping us think through things more strategically so that we can kind of layer in a long-term strategy and then execute against that. So we have not met, but we did have a meeting with some of the school leadership and some board members just to think through how things might be handled. And I know Anna Maria is digging in, and I expect we'll have a meeting on shortly. Anna Maria, do you have any other comments you want to make there?
No, I'm just trying to get my head around things. Rodrigo actually gave me a really good outline to follow. So I'm just going to see what we can find out to come up with our plan and move forward. We've also added Valerie Kara. She's going to help out as well.
Excellent. Thank you. And lastly is a search committee. Do you want to talk updates on that, Erin? Do you want me to take that?
Sure. We have several, I apologize, there's thunder in the background here. We have several applicants for interim. We're going through and taking that through a sort of scoring rubric to scale down to a smaller slate of candidates. We'll be involving the full board, the search committee more broadly, and members of the transition team as we sort of distill it down to a smaller candidate pool. The full-time or permanent head of school job description is up. K2, which is a search firm we hired, is actively working through their networks. They posted it in a number of places, including social media and certain, and there's like a Harvard alumni job site, and they are actively working their networks and working through the early stages of the recruitment process there. So I think, Elias, correct me if I'm wrong, they are coming to the search committee meeting Friday to give us an early update. And we'll continue to meet, I think, every other week for the foreseeable future to work on that.
Right. Yeah. So we have a biweekly, from weekly to biweekly on the search committee meetings, but they'll be coming in hopefully to give us an update. But they just opened up the head of school announcement. That's a nationwide search. It's going to be open till the end of August. So we have quite a few weeks where that thing is being openly recruited for. And so we don't know what we've gotten in terms of interest yet on that, but we'll update folks as we learn more about that. Anything else on that? I think that captures.
Actually, very briefly, in terms of updates, we certainly appreciate great turnout for Zoom attendance for board meetings, but shout out to Marianne, who puts together board bites shortly after each board meeting that contains both the updates of what transpired at the board meeting, what happens on committee levels. So keep an eye out for those. They are emailed to this committee, and they're also posted on the school's website.
Thank you, Liz. And I guess that's it for that. No other comments on that. Any other, did I miss any other committees or any other comments that folks want to make about their committees? Before we move on. Right, so next up is Good of the School. Anything for Good of the School, Ricardo or Deans? I think we covered most items.
Not at this time from me.
Very good. All right. So next up on the agenda is board officer elections. And so the way the current bylaws are written is every year we reelect. We'll get back to the co-chairs of the new business. But every year we reelect officers for the board. We wanted to start with that process now. And so basically that includes secretary, treasurer, vice president, and the president. And so we'll start, I guess, with nominations from the floor for secretary for the upcoming year. And so right now, Elise's secretary, so we're looking for nominations for secretary for the RSC Charter School Board for the upcoming 2021 school year.
I'll nominate Elise to continue in that capacity for the next school year.
Do we have a second for that?
I second that.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Any discussions or comments from anybody? No discussion, so we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of Elise being the secretary, RSC Charter School Board secretary for the 2021 school year?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So the motion carries. Congratulations, Elise.
Thank you.
Next up would be treasurer. Do we have a nomination for George? Was our treasurer? George has stepped off the board, so technically we don't even have a treasurer right now. So we're looking for nominations for treasurer for the board. Do we have any nominations?
I'll nominate Rodrigo Torres for treasurer for the upcoming school year.
I'll second that.
All right. Any other nominations? All right, no other nominations. Rodrigo has been nominated. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, so Rodrigo, congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up is the vice president. So this year, every year we alternate vice presidents for the board between the AHEPA and the non-AHEPA group. Right now it's a non-AHEPA and Aaron, so we're looking for an AHEPA nomination for this upcoming school year for the vice president. Do we have a nomination for vice president from the AHEPA side of the board?
This is Valerie. I would like to nominate Anna Maria Aragnosto. All
right. We have a second.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Elise. Any other nominations for vice president from the AHEPA side? All right, so we'll call a vote. All those in favor of Anne-Marie as vice president of the RSC Charter School Board?
Do I have to accept first?
Wow. We didn't make Rodrigo accept. We're just nominating people.
Oh, well, we're forcing you to accept. You have to resign if you don't otherwise. So that is a good point. We probably should ask the candidates if they wanted to accept. I'm assuming because they voted yes for themselves that they're good with it. Would you accept the nomination, Anne-Marie?
I accept. Thank you for asking.
So we'll have a vote now for Anne-Marie for vice president of the RSC Charter School Board. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So Anne-Marie, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so typically we have the vice president ascends to president automatically. So I have to ask Erin if she's interested in ascending to the president's role.
I will pass on that opportunity at this time. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your service as vice president. This basically means that we need to open up the floor for a nomination for president from the non-AHEPA side of the board. Does anybody have any nominations?
I would nominate that Elias Regis continue on as president, although this time nominated by the non-AHEPA contingent.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Any discussions? This will call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed, so the motion carries. I'll continue one more year as president of the board. So thank you. I'll accept. We also have the ability to nominate additional vice presidents of the board. Second vice president, third vice president to help support the board's activities. And so I open it up to see if there are any interest in additional vice presidents being nominated for the board at this time.
I would like to nominate Erin, since she has done such an outstanding job on the executive committee in the short time that she's been here.
But I escaped.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second that wholeheartedly.
Any other nominations? Any discussions on that? All right, so let's have a vote on Erin being nominated as second vice president for the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that motion carries as well too. All right, so thank you all. Looks like we have the full board in place with all the officers. We're not gonna have an executive session tonight. So I did wanna open up the floor. Erin, did we receive any public comment questions from anybody?
So I don't see, I didn't receive any emails to that effect. I believe all of the chat comments were appropriately congratulating Mary on her retirement. If I missed anyone who made a request to speak, please just unmute yourself and speak now, but I don't see anything.
Elias, I think-
Before we do go to that, I did miss a couple of things, so I wanna make sure I capture them. When we went through the school report, there is a look for a Greek program report. I didn't call for that, but is there anything from the Greek program that we want to report on today?
Marina was on, but she's also in Greece.
Yes, I am here.
7 hours ahead, I was going to say.
Okay.
So, should I say something about the Greek program?
Certainly.
Yes, yeah, I will focus exclusively on the high school and on the Greek high school teachers. So I would like to highlight the professional development in which they participated during the past month. And I'm talking about three teachers. First of all, Kyriakoula Michantsefis Douvis, who attended the two workshop offered for free by ACTFL on oral proficiency interview, which is very relevant and useful for the development of their skills as oral examiners in the Elinomathi exams. But we should also mention Thalia Mitili, because in June she became a Delaware recognized world language proficiency champion. And this means that now all Greek high school teachers at OCS are recognized world language proficiency champions, and the OCS High School is eligible for the DOE banner of champions, which can be proudly displayed in the high school next year. Thank you.
Outstanding.
Wonderful.
Excellent, thank you, Marina.
Fantastic.
Sorry to keep you up so late.
No, that's okay, that's a Greek time, that's what we do.
We just finished dinner.
Yeah. It's, I think it's about 2 in the morning there, 2:30 in the morning. The only other item that we had was new businesses nominating committee chairs for each of the new committees. I know that as we've been formulating some of these new committees, we've been working on putting new chairs in there and new members on there which need to be nominated. So I guess I'll start with, we'll start with the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Are there nominations for chairs of that committee and any membership levels, or at least the chairs of that committee, or additions to the chairs?
Well, Helen and I have been the acting chairs, but if you want us to continue, you have to vote us in.
Yeah. I nominate Eva and Helen. Can we do it for both or at once?
Sure.
Or should we?
Sure, that's fine. As co-chairs.
Co-chair.
Any seconds?
I'll second that. This is Erin.
Any discussion on that? Okay, so all those in favor of Helen Aronson and Eva Janelli being co-chairs of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thanks. So you guys are formally and officially the co-chairs. As we work through the process and we add additional subcommittees or members to that committee, bring that back to us as well too, so we can formally add them to the committee as well too. I know there's a lot of interest in that committee, so
yes,
once you get that worked out, let us know. We'll add them to the committee as well too.
Mm-hmm.
on the immersion committee, we also nominate both chairs and members. I know that there's been some talk about adding new individuals and members to that committee right now. Do we have a motion to either nominate new or additional co-chairs and or committee members for the immersion committee?
I would make a motion to remove me as a co-chair and to nominate Anne Maria and Val. Rodrigo, are you interested in staying on as co-chair?
No, I think with Anna Maria, and if Valerie is joining as well, I'm perfectly fine in stepping up.
So I would make the motion to remove Aaron, Allard, and Rodrigo Torres as co-chairs and appoint Anna Maria and Val as the new co-chairs.
Discussion on that? All in favor of that motion? Oh, wait, we need a second.
Again,
that, I guess.
Can we accept?
I'll second that.
Okay, yes. Okay. And Anna wants to know if she's going to accept. Will she accept those nominations? Do you accept being a co-chair? You and Valerie both accept co-chairs of that committee?
As long as Anna Maria is in charge, then yes.
Okay. I don't think Anna Maria has any problem being in charge, so I think you're good. All right, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so we're good there. Are there any other committees where we need to add membership or chairs to?
No, the fundraising committee will have some leadership changes in the upcoming. We'll have something to vote on for the next meeting. I want to bring it before the committee first.
Okay. I do want to add, with George stepping off, removing George from the, well, not removing George, but he'll continue to serve as a community member, but adding Anna Marie to the search committee. Are we good? Are we working that? Can we have a motion for that?
Sorry, Elias, I missed that.
Oh, adding Anna Maria to the search committee.
Oh, yes. Okay. I will make a motion to add Anna Maria. I apologize, my kids are playing and yelling. Make a motion to add Anna Maria to the search committee.
Wait a second for that.
I'll second.
Anna Maria, do you accept that nomination?
Wait, I'm on mute. Yes, I accept.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Any opposed? All right, Anna Marie, you're in. Thank you. So any other questions or comments or anything from anybody on the board? And I'll come back one last time for anybody that has any public comments. Aaron, anything on that end?
I don't see anything.
All right. If that's the case, I guess we're done with all the official business. We have a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
We have a second.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So meeting adjourned 7:38 p.m. Thank you all.
Best wishes again, Mary. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.